Hey guys, you're listening to the Men's Roundtable Training Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Rivers, and the goal of MRT training is to help men feel competent to facilitate MRT studies and create discipleship opportunities in the lives of the men they lead. If you've been following along, you know that my colleague Turner Vaughn and I, we've been reviewing sections of the MRT Facilitator Handbook and giving practical next steps for new MRT facilitators. Today, Turner and I are answering the question, how to troubleshoot and handle common problems that arise in an MRT study. We're focusing on page 9, 10, and 11 of the MRT Facilitator's Handbook. So grab that or just listen in. All right, let's jump in. Well, all right, today's our last episode, and
yes,
we're finally here together. We're wrapping this thing up.
End of the journey.
It's been good, man. We have had a great time together. I've really enjoyed getting to know you, Turner, and talking about what is MRT, the role of an MRT facilitator. That's what we did in episode one. Man, we talked about how to prepare to lead a successful MRT study in episode two. We talked about what does it look like to be a great MRT facilitator in episode three. And then in our last episode four, we discussed some ways to encourage ownership and replicate discipleship in group members. I really liked that episode.
Definitely.
Fun.
Yeah, it was helpful.
Today, we're discussing how to troubleshoot and handle common problems that arise in an MRT study. And there's a ton of them. When you think about these, I mean, what do you believe? And we're going to talk through a couple of them. But just getting this started, you talked earlier about some thoughts. I know I need you to share.
I think in a lot of ways, these are going to be very situational specific, right, to the people that you have in your group. And so a lot of these things that we go through, you might not have a single one of them happen in your group, which is great.
Yeah.
But you could have all of them, too. It just kind of depends on who is in your group, who are the men in your group. And this is another place to just reiterate that you're not on an island
doing this.
Right. You have your MRT lead. You also have, you know, campus pastor, group life pastors. Like, you have folks who are supporting you in this. And so if there is a significant troubleshooting, challenging issue with any particular guy, you do have a support system. Mm-hmm. So I think most of what we're going to talk about here is stuff that you can easily implement as a facilitator. But then again, knowing that if something gets a little bit beyond that, to where there might be some pastoral work to be involved or just someone to lend some extra authority or strength to an issue, that's definitely part of this too.
Yeah. And I would add too that there's something to longevity and time. Mm-hmm. I know that we look at MRT studies, sometimes they're 7 weeks or they're 6 weeks, but when you're leading as an MRT facilitator, think of this as longevity. You know, if you were to do three or four studies with a group of men, you might see some of these challenges happen, but it might not happen in the first or two sessions. You know, you gotta build relational capital with guys and you gotta be in for the long haul if you're really gonna be successful at the discipleship process through all this. So that's another thing I just wanted to mention. I was thinking about that crock pot growth that Matt Williams often talks about that just takes time.
Sure.
And so if you're listening, I'm grateful that you're serving in this role and excited for the work that could be happening in your group. So let's jump in. Let's talk about some of these common problems that we've found. How do you handle someone who never talks, Turner?
Yeah, so I would say, I mean, even these first couple of ones, if you're looking at the book, but someone who never talks, no one is talking, and someone dominates, a lot of these can be alleviated with setting up expectations early on. And so someone who never talks, you know, being really clear from the get-go, hey, everybody in the group is going to talk, is going to contribute. Maybe even those first two sessions, you actually go around and have everybody answer the same question or, you know, be thoughtful beforehand and say, hey, so-and-so, why don't you take a shot at this question the next time we get together and really kind of pinpoint certain people in the group. And at the end of the day, don't be afraid to just say, hey, John, or whoever, you know, whoever's in your group, like just directly ask them a question.
That's right.
But I think once you establish that as a regular rhythm, that like, hey, you're not coming just to sit here.
Yeah.
The better that will be. Regen, the group that I was in, did a version of this that was actually could be helpful for a period of time where everyone goes around in the circle and they read what they wrote down.
Yeah.
So it creates two things. One, accountability that they're actually doing the homework. Mm-hmm. And two, everybody's getting time.
That's right.
Everybody's reading something.
That's right.
So now you don't have to do it the whole time, but that can be a way to do that. And then for no one who's talking, right, the ultimate awkward, you kind of start and then, you know, cricket radio silence, whatever. That's where, again, you can lead. Mm-hmm. You can lead with your own vulnerability. You can kind of lead with lightening the mood, mm-hmm. making a joke, kind of cutting the tension, especially if it's a difficult topic. But yeah, that's where you can lead in vulnerability.
Yeah.
Just to kind of show, hey, this is what we're doing. And then, you know, someone who tries to dominate, whether that be in a very clear, overt way, and they kind of want to run things, that might be a different conversation. But it could be just a guy who, that's his personality, that he's going to fill whatever gaps mm-hmm. there are. He's going to talk. And so just being real clear with that person, asking someone else specifically in the group to answer a question, and ultimately just having conversations outside of group time.
Yes.
And because you might be helping that guy grow in self-awareness. Mm-hmm. Like, he might be clueless to the fact that he's dominating conversations.
That's right. That's
or talking
right.
way too much. So that even all these things we're going to mention are helpful in part even mm-hmm. to the process of going through Men's Roundtable. Because you're growing in awareness. Mm-hmm. You're learning how to communicate difficult things and how to have hard conversations. That's part of the whole deal.
That's right.
And so sometimes that can go sideways theologically too, and get some difficult thoughts that way. So what do you think when someone shares something that's not biblically sound or not theologically, you know, what we would say as a church?
Yeah. Yeah. I would say for someone who shares unbiblical thinking, I mean, you definitely want to handle that situation with humility and grace. I mean, it's important to know God's word and redirect people to biblical truth. And if you don't know what the Bible says about a certain thing, say, man, I'd like to get back with you on that. I mean, if you don't know an answer, don't come up and make up an answer, you know?
Sure.
So it's always good, I know, sometimes to ask other people what they think. If somebody asks a very challenging, someone asked a question the other day about Psalm 51:6, I think was the verse, and something about the secret heart. And someone said, what is a secret heart, Chris? And I'm like, man, that's such a great question.
Yeah.
Dean, what do you think?
All right, next.
You know, I mean, Dean, what do you think about the secret heart? Does anybody want to share first before I share?
Sure.
You know, I mean, and just
and evaluate, know, maybe.
And just
maybe
think,
that's a better,
you know,
answer.
Like, maybe open up the. Well, why don't we just look at the Bible real quick? Look at the concordance. I mean, just take time. Don't be in a rush. Clarify what's being said and just try to regain control and get other people in your group involved. I mean, remember, like you said in the beginning, you're not a lone ranger out here doing this. Like, use the people in your group. So that would be some things I would think about someone who shares unbiblical thinking. Maybe there's also people who don't, you know, you don't know the answer. If you don't know the answer, admit that you don't know. And, you know, say,
totally.
I'll find out and follow through with that. And I always ask somebody if they got insight.
Yeah, and I would say, too, just the kind of the previous two that we just talked about, it might be clear sometimes when someone does have an axe to grind that's in your group theologically. Like, he might be real clear on a particular issue and want to make his opinion known, even to combat what the teaching is saying too. And so that's a different conversation
that's
as well.
Right.
That's one where you're gonna be talking outside a group. You're gonna be saying, "Hey, I hear where you're coming from. Love to talk more about that, but let's get back to what we were working through." And that's for you to kind of work through.
That's right.
With that person, and that might be when you're bringing in an MRT lead or bringing in a campus pastor.
That's right. That's right. For someone who, let's say, your common problem is getting back on track after a rabbit trail. So just remember that you're steering the conversation, and sometimes a tangent is well worth the time. And it may even involve a personal situation that needs to be heard. So you get to decide with grace and wisdom when to guide the discussion back to the study. And other ways to get back on track is to have someone else read an important section or a quote or a verse to get back on track, and just maybe ask them, hey, share to what you like best about that. That's always an easy way to just get people back on track. And always encourage people. I think being positive is helpful. If someone is off of track, you can say, hey, you know, this is great points. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate what you said. Let's see what other people have to say. And definitely, you know, thank people. Man, I'm so grateful for everything that you have to say tonight. And smile.
You know? That's right.
Let's give some other people a chance to talk and see how what they have to say could relate and contribute to our conversation. So that's really important, I think. So
especially if the rabbit trail includes everybody. And it's like actually a helpful discussion.
Yeah.
You know, when it's a rabbit trail of just one dude that just keeps coming back to this off topic thing.
Yeah.
You know, then that's different. And I think what you said is important, like having discretion to say, hey, this is a good rabbit trail, yeah, and we should work this out a little bit. Because some of that rabbit trail might be building a rapport with your group and some camaraderie. Mm-hmm. It might just be distracting from wanting to talk about what the material is. So yeah.
I just think you just need to love people well through all that stuff.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Just care for people. You know, just if somebody, you know, if somebody, and people know and feel it.
Sure.
I mean, somebody's in the group the other day talking about a dog. You told in previous sessions, we talk about, pray about important things. You know, right. Hey, will y'all pray about my dog? Man, that is a rabbit trail. I know. Let's follow up later about that, you know, but, but I think just, hey, I appreciate you sharing that.
Sure.
You know, but let's get back on track, you know?
Yeah, so totally.
What do we do when no one is prepared, Turner?
Yeah, I think, again, this initially, this can be helped with being real clear up front, right? But also learning how to give grace in this area. And those text message reminders during the week, I think, can be really helpful, where you're saying, hey, remember, this is what we're talking about. I found this really interesting. Be sure to check it out. You know, friendly reminders to do your work, to be listening. But then also, that puts some of the impetus back on you to be able to know what to talk about, what to communicate, so that if need be, you can kind of at least provide enough info to have a meaningful discussion, even if nobody's prepared. And if you see a pattern, right, then maybe you need to address the pattern and say, okay, hey, why did nobody get anything done this week?
Yeah.
Did something happen? Can we talk through stuff? Yeah. You know,
is there an underlying issue?
Yeah, yeah. Did something happen in your lives this week? And leading with questions to understand rather than to bring judgment, at least initially. Like if you have a guy who 3 weeks straight, he's not doing anything. I mean, that's a little bit different of a conversation than a week, you know, where everybody's struggling. But just being proactive, I think, is the best answer to that. Mm-hmm. No one being prepared. And then, yeah, here, someone who's difficult or argumentative, this is the one that could have a potential to derail discussion time, derail your group. And it can happen for any number of reasons, right? You might have a guy who wants to always make things political. You might have a guy who wants to always make things turn towards his theological bent, whatever it might be. And so I think like what I said before, if they disagree fundamentally, have that conversation outside of the group.
Yeah.
And then for someone who is clearly an issue, that's where you can meet with them, but you also have the support of staff and pastors. And so, and this is kind of a tangent off of that, but for you to be able to take the step beyond shallow discussion, right? I mean, you know, men, like when we get together, you get on a topic that a couple of them like, you know, you can spend hours talking about, like right now, like conference realignment in college football. Like if you get somebody on that, like your whole time could be shot, you know, or name, image, likeness, whatever. But being able to take that next step. So showing vulnerability, leading intentionally with that conversation so that you're not the one always bringing it back to a surface level conversation. You're the one taking it to the next, to the next level. And in choosing, I think that's a cool idea, is to choose icebreakers that actually get to that next layer.
Yeah.
Not like, you know, sure, what's your favorite candy bar? What's your favorite sports team? All that, all that's good to know. But like asking, doing icebreakers that take it a little bit further than that.
That's good.
But yeah, so like you said, these are 6-7 weeks long. You know, what do you do when it's just you and another guy at the end of it?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have possibly that common problem of a group dwindling to a few. And so I think it's important to regularly reach out to your guys, those that are not attending. If someone doesn't attend and you had a session yesterday, if someone doesn't attend and it's been 24 hours and you haven't followed up with them, that's not good.
Yeah.
You want to connect with them as soon as possible, and not just to find out where they are, but just to let them know that you care about them and you miss them. And I mean, I think that's helpful in getting people back on. So just encourage people to come back. If someone misses a session, just encourage them to make it back. I think you need to look at this as an opportunity to have more in-depth conversation with those who are coming. Some of the best groups are small. So if you do have a group that's small, that's okay. Don't be discouraged.
Yeah.
If you had 10 people in your group and it dwindled down to 4, like that's okay.
Sure.
That's going to happen. And I think in some situations, the group may need to disband and just restart if you need to do that, if you're in your fourth session of authentic manhood and this is the first time you've ever met and there's like only one guy showing and you had six guys,
yeah,
it's probably time to stop that, you know,
sure,
and
yeah,
or just to figure it out. Talk to your campus
change
leader,
yeah,
you know, MRT lead, campus pastor, and figure it out. But that's what I would do with a group that dwindles to a few. When the group's just not clicking, because that's sometimes also another problem, is understand that God knew exactly who would be in your group, and he did not make a mistake. I think that's the first thought there. And then try to add some additional social time at the beginning of the meeting. This is, you know, helpful. Those mm-hmm. icebreakers are always helpful. Hey, what did you guys do this weekend that was a lot of fun? You
yeah.
know, I mean, just get guys to share what they care about at the mm-hmm. beginning in a safe way. And I think that's gonna help. And not every group, you know, is gonna end as best friends. So just accept that and
sure.
remember that God is at work in every group. So I think the last common problem that we need to learn how to troubleshoot, and I want to hand this to you as we get ready to land the plane here, but where do we go, Turner, for how to handle problems beyond the scope of our group?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, at the bare minimum, you know, you got MRT lead, and you, depending on your campus, you might even have a coach who has kind of been teamed up with you. You know, they might have a certain number of groups that are underneath them, but you have an MRT lead, and then you have another layer of campus pastor, group life staff to be able to help with any number of issues.
Yeah.
And I think your first instinct would be to just to call that MRT lead and just bounce ideas off of them
mm-hmm.
to be like, hey, this is what happened. I know it's on me, but I'm just trying to get clear thoughts about how I should handle this. And just have open dialogue, right? Mm-hmm. And then ultimately pray, you know, pray for wisdom, pray for discretion,
yep.
discernment, you know, in different issues. And just pray for your group that, you know, whatever these challenging issues are that pop up, that you can help facilitate them well, that God would be glorified
yes.
and all that. And then ultimately show compassion.
Yeah.
You know, when you do have difficult guys or difficult situations, for some people that are in your group, this might be the first ever version of biblical community that they've ever been in.
Yeah.
You know, and that might be why they're struggling, because they're not sure how to interact in that type of environment. And so for you to lead with compassion instead of leading with judgment, which might be what they've received already
yeah.
from past church environments or other environments.
Very
so
true.
Just show compassion, but also to be clear on what the problem is and try to address it and be able to move forward.
Yeah.
That could be helpful.
Well, this has been a helpful time. I think we've been able to really talk about some common problems and how we could maybe troubleshoot those. But like you said in the beginning, this is, you know, it just depends on your situation.
And sure. yeah.
you might not experience any of these, but just be prepared to know that as you lead, there's going to be challenge. The reason that leadership exists is because problems exist.
Sure. Yeah.
So, you know, you're going to have to really trust God and work with your mm-hmm. team and figure out what that looks like. So, man, thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Turner,
glad
thank
to.
You for sharing some
thanks,
of
Chris.
Your wisdom as we've kind of gone through these five episodes. Hopefully this audio companion coupled with the MRT Facilitator Handbook has been helpful onboarding you into what it looks like to lead well at MRT. And we're just really glad that we had the chance to do it. So, any yeah. other thoughts you would like to say as we land the plane?
Just thank you for being willing to get in the game
yep.
and to help lead other guys.
That's right.
It's
yeah.
crucial. Yeah.
That's right. Thanks. Well, as we wrap up today's conversation, I want to thank you for joining us. And as a next step, we would encourage you to get with your MRT leader coach and review which common problems you found challenging to think through. If you have any questions, want to lead a men's roundtable study, or want to get more plugged into what God is calling us to do as men, email us at minutegrace@gracechurchsc.org and we'll get you connected. Thanks for joining us today, and we look forward to joining you on the next episode.